Visit ChicoNatural.com or call 891-1713 for more information. Tune in again next week at the same time. We kick off the first day of the KZFR Pledge Drive. Consider waiting to pledge your support to this show between 6 and 7 next week and share your support for local community-produced public affairs. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Until next time, peace out.
I ain't got no home, I'm just a rambling round. I work when I can get it, I roam from town to town. Police make it hard, boys, wherever I may go. I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I was farming shares and always I was young. My debts, they was so many, my pay wouldn't go around. Drought got my crop and Mr. Banker. Now I ain't got no home in this world anymore.
Look at me. Look at me. Up and about. I haven't done this in 20 years.
Oh. Grandpa!
I never thought my life could be anything but catastrophe. But suddenly I begin to see a bit of good luck for me. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. I never had a chance to shine, never a happy song to sing, but suddenly half the world is mine. What an amazing thing, 'cause I've got a golden ticket.
It's ours, Charlie.
I've got a golden sun up in the sky.
Slippers, Charlie.
I never thought I'd see the day when I would face the world and say good morning. Look at the sun. I never thought that I would be slapping the lap of luxury, 'cause I'd have said
it couldn't be done.
But it can be done.
Ooh, the cane, Charlie. Ah. Here I go. Watch my speed. Oh.
I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden day. I'd have said it couldn't be done, but it can be done. I never dreamed that I would climb over the moon in ecstasy, but nevertheless it's there that I'm shortly about to be. 'Cause I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden chance to make my way. And with a golden ticket, it's a golden.
And welcome to Wonka Radio. You have landed here with me this evening for a spooky, spooky Halloween theme. I hope you're ready. Want to let you know that this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And I am your ghoulish host this evening, Liesl. And I have selected some amazing stories to share with you. If you are a regular listener of Wonka Radio, then you know that last time I kind of gave you a little segue. I gave you a little step up from our previous stories about libraries and started getting a little bit spooky. And so this evening, I have a couple of much more spooky stories for you. The first story that we're going to hear is from Invasion of the Road Weenies and Other Warped and Creepy Tales. This one's by David, from this book by David Lubar. It's a collection of short stories. And if you have heard me say this before, I will say it again. I love short stories. They make me feel like I'm accomplishing something because I can sit down and begin and finish one in one sitting. And because I think that the art of writing a short story is very impressive, because an author has to take just maybe 5, 10, 20 pages to tell an entire story. And so the first story I'm going to share with you is called 10 Pounds of Chocolate. "No way," Amy said. "That can't be true." "I swear," Wendy said. "She gives out huge chocolate bars. My brother told me." Amy looked down the hill. The house had to be a half mile away, but at least it was downhill. "You sure about this?" Wendy nodded. "Okay. If it's true, it'll be worth the trip." Amy headed down the hill, hitching up her skirt. The witch costume was great, but it was just a little bit too long. There weren't any other homes to stop at along the way, just empty lots filled with tall weeds. Amy hoped she wasn't wasting her time. "My turn to ring," Wendy said when they reached the house. At least the front light was on. She rushed to the porch. Amy followed her up the creaking steps and waited for the door to open. The place was small, little more than a cabin, and it didn't seem to be in very good condition. Amy wondered how anyone who lived here could afford to give away big bars of chocolate to every kid who came by.
"Well, aren't you two just lovely?" the woman said when she opened the door.
She was old and small, just like the house. Behind her, a black cat peered at the girls, its tail forming question marks in the air. "Trigger," Amy started to say, but the words caught in her throat as she spotted what lay on the table in the hallway. 2 huge candy bars, the biggest she'd ever seen. Maybe Wendy was right. The bars looked like they weighed at least 10 pounds each.
"Here you go, dearie," the woman said.
She stooped and lifted a candy bar with 2 hands, then dropped it into Amy's bag. Amy felt her arm jolt as the weight hit.
"Thank you," she said.
She could already taste the chocolate. It would last for weeks.
"And here you go, young lady," the woman said, giving the other bar to Wendy.
"Lucky us," Amy thought, realizing she and her friend had gotten the last 2 candy bars.
"That's very generous," Wendy said.
The woman nodded.
"An old person like me needs to be extra friendly. I'm all alone here except for Jackson," she said, pointing to the cat. "I want people to think well of me. That way they won't play tricks on me or make up nasty rumors."
Amy nodded. It made sense. The woman was alone in this tiny house at the end of a long road. If she didn't give out candy on Halloween, some of the kids might do something, like smash the pumpkins on her porch. But if she gave out great candy, she would never have a problem.
"Thanks again," Amy said as the girls left the house. "Come back next year," the woman called.
"Wow, that was worth the trip." Amy started the long climb up the hill. "And even worth the trip back," Wendy added. 10 pounds at least, Amy said. She lifted the candy bar from her bag. Yeah, Wendy hefted her own bar. It must cost her a fortune to buy these, but I guess she really wants kids to like her. I know I'm going to tell everyone how nice she is. Me too. Wendy was about to put the candy bar back in her bag when she heard the roar. She froze for an instant. Whoa, what was that? Just some kids fooling around, Wendy said, though she didn't sound very sure. Wendy hitched up her skirt and walked faster. Another roar ripped the air closer this time. Amy looked back and screamed as the dark beast leaped from the tall weeds, sprinting toward them on four legs and spitting out a fierce and angry growl. Its sharp white teeth glistened like ivory daggers. Run! She shouted. Amy dashed up the hill. The chocolate bar felt heavier and heavier. It became an anchor, threatening to drag her to a halt. She dropped the bar and ran harder. By her side, she saw Wendy toss her own bar to the ground. At the top of the hill, Amy paused and looked back. We made it, she gasped, trying to catch her breath. What was that? A wolf? A lion? Wendy shook her head. I don't know, but I lost my candy bar. Amy nodded. Me too, but at least we got away, and we still have our bags. Oh, she was beginning to wonder if it had been her imagination, but she knew one thing for certain. She sure is a nice old lady. Yeah, Wendy said, she is really nice. Amy saw two boys walk past, heading down the hill. She opened her mouth to warn them about the beast, but then decided not to say anything. They wouldn't believe her, and she couldn't blame them. There couldn't really have been a creature chasing them. Come on, Wendy said. Let's go to some more houses. She walked away from the hill. Good idea. Amy followed her. At the same moment, down at the bottom of the hill, the sleek black panther opened his jaws and gently placed the two huge chocolate bars on the front porch of the small house. Then he clawed at the door, his tail waving, forming question marks in the air.
Well done, Jackson. We've made so many friends tonight, the nice old woman said.
She picked up the chocolate bars one by one and placed them back on the table, then petted the panther as it again took the form of a cat.
And just in time, she said, peering up the hill, I believe I see more youngsters heading our way.
Oh, my goodness. So Jackson wasn't just the woman's cat. I think she was what we would call her familiar. He was a shape-shifting companion to this woman. I wonder if she was really just a little old lady. All right. So I'm going to continue with another story from Invasion of the Road Weenies and Other Warped and Creepy Tales by David Lubar. If you're enjoying these stories this evening, I want to tell you that there is a whole series of books written by David Lubar, and they all have weenie in the title. And when I introduced this book to my students at school, they always laugh and they think, oh, because it's got weenies in the title, it's going to be a funny book. But I think you could tell from 10 pounds of chocolate, not terribly humorous. These are warped and creepy tales. Excuse me. This story is called The Last Halloween. Aren't you going out for trick-or-treat? Jennifer's mother asked 2 weeks before Halloween. If you want me to make a costume, we'd better start soon. I'm getting kind of old for that, Jennifer said. Maybe I'll skip it this year. Are you sure? I thought you loved to go out. Jennifer nodded. I'm pretty sure. She'd been thinking about it ever since last year, ever since those older kids had stolen her candy and chased her down the street. As much as she loved Halloween, it just wasn't worth the risk. Monster terror was fun. Real terror was not. "There's still time for me to make a costume," her mother said a week before Halloween. "Thanks, but I think I'll just stay home and hand out candy." That might even be fun, Jennifer thought. She liked seeing the little kids in their cute costumes. Her enthusiasm faded as she realized the older kids would come to her door too. The ones who didn't even bother with real costumes. The ones who were just out to get as much candy as they could. "Last chance," Jennifer's mother said the day before Halloween. "I can still put something together." Jennifer looked out the window at the leaf-strewn streets that would soon be filled with costumed kids. "No thanks," she said. But on Halloween, as the day fell dark and the smallest trick-or-treaters emerged from their houses like ants spilling from a hill, Jennifer wondered if it was too late to change her mind. She had good memories of her first Halloween. It wasn't fair to have nothing but bad memories about her last one. But that awful Halloween didn't have to be her last one. Not if she went out right now. Costume, Jennifer thought, rummaging through her closet. Nothing. Sure, she could throw together a hippie outfit or do some sort of clown makeup, but that wasn't good enough. That wasn't special. She tried the basement. The sound of the doorbell drifted down from upstairs. As Jennifer scanned the piles of boxes stacked along the wall, the flash of a gold latch caught her eye. Her great-grandmother's old trunk sat shoved in a corner beneath moldy boxes of baby toys and a stack of canning jars. Jennifer vaguely remembered looking in the trunk when they'd first moved to the house. She uncovered the trunk and unlatched the lid. A dusty smell of ancient cloth tickled her nose as she sorted through the contents. Just old dresses. Nice enough, but not the sort of costume she wanted. There was a hat with a veil, thin black gauze that covered the face of the wearer. Huh, this might work in an emergency, she thought. Still, she'd hoped to find something better. Jennifer found nothing else, but as she started to close the lid, she realized something was wrong. The outside of the trunk seemed deeper than the inside. She emptied the trunk and knocked her fist against the bottom. Instead of a solid whack, she was rewarded with a hollow thump. Excited, she pushed and pressed until she discovered the right spot. The false bottom popped up. Jennifer held her breath as she lifted the wood panel, wondering what treasure she might find. Gloves, that was all. Ugh, one pair of black leather gloves. But then Jennifer noticed a folded slip of paper tucked between the fingers. She opened the slip and read the handwritten words out loud. Special gloves for a special night. Huh. The doorbell rang again. Jennifer heard a chorus of young voices shouting, "Trick or treat!" Halloween was slipping past her like hourglass sand. Jennifer grabbed the hat. Not a great costume, but it would have to do. On a whim, she grabbed the gloves, too. After all, it was a special night, even if she didn't have a special costume. She slipped the gloves over her hands. They fit like she'd worn them for years. She put on the hat. The veil cut her off from the world, filtering everything through a dark curtain. Jennifer ran upstairs and grabbed her Halloween bag. "I'm going out," she called to her mom. "Have fun, dear. Be careful." She dashed into the crisp air of the last night in October. As she knocked on her first door and got her first piece of candy, Jennifer knew she'd made the right decision. She traveled the familiar streets, following a pattern she'd worked out over the years. At most houses, she heard the same question. "What an interesting costume! What are you?" "Just a veiled lady," Jennifer told them. She reached Pritchard Street, a dead end. The best path was down one side and back up the other. She went to the first house on the right and then the second. As she left the second house, she heard footsteps behind her. footsteps and whispers. She took a quick glance over her shoulder at the hovering shapes. Taller kids, bigger kids. Though she hated to break the pattern, Jennifer crossed the street. They followed, going to each house right after her, playing with her the way a cat plays with a mouse. They had time. She was trapped. Jennifer crossed the street again. They crossed too, and again. Jennifer gripped her bag with her right hand, feeling the plastic handle bite against her palm through the thin leather of the gloves. "I'm just going to walk back to the corner," she told herself. She'd go past them, and everything would be fine. Forcing herself to look straight ahead, she took a step toward them. Crude laughs bubbled from the cluster of kids. "Trick or treat," the boy in front said in a nasty, mocking voice. His only costume was a football shirt. Behind him, another boy, the tallest of the group, wore a motorcycle jacket. "Gonna share?" the boy in front asked. Jennifer avoided his eyes. He stepped closer and reached toward her bag. Jennifer put her left hand out as if this motion had the power to stop them. She froze as the oddest sound punctured the night. Thwick, 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 thwick. Claws, black as coal and sharp as needles, sprouted from her fingertips. "Just give me the bag," the boy said. Jennifer gave him the claws instead. He screamed and clutched at his ripped shirt. The others took a step toward her. Jennifer flicked her arm out and slashed ribbons from the tall boy's leather jacket. She slashed flesh, too, but only enough to warn him off, only enough to make him think twice the next time he considered stalking a victim. Even in the dark, the others saw enough to know what she had done. They turned and fled, but not before Jennifer had flicked her wrist a final time, gutting their bags and spilling candy onto the street. The claws retracted. Jennifer left the spilled candy for the little ones to find. She had already received her reward. She finished her path along the street. At the final house, a woman asked, "My, my, that's a lovely costume. What are you?" "Justice," Jennifer whispered. "What, dear?" the woman asked. "Just a veiled lady," Jennifer said. Her bag was nearly full. Normally, that was when she'd return home. But there were other kids out there like her. Alone and vulnerable, and there were other groups like the one she'd met. Jennifer stayed on the streets until the last porch light finally went dark, and finally she headed home. "Did you have a good time?" Jennifer nodded, sending a ripple through the veil. She removed the hat and gloves. "I think this was the best Halloween ever, Mom. I can't wait until next year." "Well, just let me know ahead of time if you want a costume," her mother told her. "I'll stick with this one," Jennifer said. "It's kind of fun, and it fits me really well." Oh my gosh. So when Jennifer put on the hat and the gloves, she felt like her costume made her justice. Ooh. Oh my goodness. I love that story. Isn't that creepy?
That's so creepy. I love it. Creepy, creepy.
All right. We only have a few more minutes here together in our pre-Halloween show here on KZFR Wonka Radio. I have another book that I checked out from the Butte County Library. This is a book called Beware. It's R.L. Stine's picks of his favorite scary stories. And it's a really cool book. It has illustrations. And I happen to know that it's in a lot of school libraries. So the title is Beware with an exclamation point at the end. Dun, dun, dun. All right. So I want to share with you a couple of small selections from this wonderful book, Beware. This one's a poem by Jack Prelutsky, who's just one of my favorite poets. This one's called My Sister is a Werewolf. Oh, my goodness. My sister is a werewolf. It's disquieting and strange. One moonlit night, I watched her undergo a sudden change. Her arms and face grew hairy, and her voice became a roar. In some ways, she looked better than she'd ever looked before. I ran and told our parents, who began to fret and fuss in despair and disapproval, moaning, "No, she's not like us." I adore my sister dearly, but reluctantly agree. How I wish she were a vampire, like her loving family. Oh, Jack Proletsky, you crack me up. We've got another one here. I love this one. Also from another poet that I just truly admire and adore, and I bet you do too, by Shel Silverstein, author of Where the Sidewalk Ends and The Giving Tree and so many other wonderful collections of his poetry. This one is called Blood Curdling Story. Oh no, that story is creepy. It's wailey. It's weepy, it's screechy and screamy right up to the end. It's spooky, it's crawly, it's grisly, it's gory, it's the awfulest story. Please tell it again. Oh my gosh, have you ever heard a blood-curdling story and it freaked you out and you thought, I can't stand it, I can't stand it, I have to hear it again. Oh my goodness, I've had that same experience just this last week with some 7th and 8th graders that I know. So, we have sadly come to the end of this deliciously terrible radio show, Wonka Radio, here on KZFR. And I need to let you know that Wonka Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Mary's Gone Crackers, manufacturers of award-winning gluten-free and certified organic and vegan crackers, pretzels, and cookies in their own dedicated gluten-free facility in Gridley, California. Their products are allergy-friendly and can be found in grocery and health food stores throughout the United States and Canada. More information is at marysgonecrackers.com, or you could call them at 888-258-1250. Wonka Radio is also brought to you by Harris and Daly Wright Accountancy Corporation in Chico. Harris and Daly Wright provides certified public accountants specializing in accounting and bookkeeping services, auditing, tax preparation and planning, management support, services for nonprofit organizations, and more. To reach Harris and Daly Wright, call 895-1209. And I hope that you all enjoy this beautiful change that we are experiencing in the weather and that you are able to celebrate this beginning of the fall season with some Halloween fun. Have a good time and stay safe. I'm going to leave you with a really deliciously spooky thought to ponder. Where is fancy bread? In the heart or in the head? Good night.
You're going to love this. Just love it.